Random House Audio presents Do As I Say, Not As I Do, Profiles in Liberal Hypocrisy by Peter Schweitzer, read for you by Grover Gardner. Introduction. The Do As I Say Liberals. In 1998, popular conservative radio host Dr. Laura Schlesinger was deeply embarrassed when it was revealed that she had posed for some nude photos in her youth. Millions of Americans listen to Dr. Laura every week as she offers advice on marriage, family, parenting, and other issues from a traditional values perspective. Her books, which expound on the wisdom of the Ten Commandments and traditional marriage roles, have sold millions of copies. So when nude photos of a young Dr. Laura surfaced on the Internet, her critics were quick to pounce. How is the best-selling author of 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives going to spin this? Asked Salon. In June 2003, The Washington Monthly and Newsweek revealed that William J. Bennett, who had written a string of best-selling books promoting virtue and excoriating the moral failings of Bill Clinton, was a heavy gambler. Liberal columnist Michael Kinsley gleefully predicted that Bennett's hypocrisy would spell the end of his moral credibility, declaring, "As the joyous word spread, crack flowed like water through inner-city streets, family court judges began handing out free divorces, children lit bonfires of the Book of Virtues, more virtuous virtues, who cheesed my virtue, moral tales, virtue for dogs, etc. And cynics everywhere thought, for just a moment, maybe there is a God after all." The Soros-funded Center for American Progress announced that it would offer a Bill Bennett Hypocrisy Award for other conservatives who were caught in a similar fashion. They got their first opportunity a few months later, when it was revealed that radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh was addicted to the prescription drug OxyContin, which he had been originally prescribed after back surgery in 1995. Liberals called him the ultimate hypocrite, a law-and-order man caught breaking the law. Al Franken could barely contain his joy at the humiliation of his rival and bete noir, openly expressing the hope that Limbaugh would be arrested and go to jail. None of these bullets fired by liberals directly hit their mark, however. Dr. Laura's embarrassing photos were shot in the 1970s, well before she became a prominent traditionalist. "With the mindset I have now, there are certain things I would not have done," she told Vanity Fair contritely before the photos became public. "I am repentant. I have moved on." Bennett, while extolling the importance of honesty, integrity, and virtue, had never singled out gambling as immoral, and he had made no real effort to hide his activity. Though on his trips to Vegas he largely confined his gambling to his room, it was well known in Washington that he enjoyed a good game of high-stakes poker. Nor has anyone bothered to investigate the real scandal here, namely, how this private information about a casino guest was leaked to the press, especially in a town whose promotional slogan is, "What happens here stays here." The lack of curiosity about this on the part of mainstream media is telling. Rush Limbaugh had indeed gone after drug addicts and was a happy warrior in the anti-drug campaign earlier in his career. But once his illegal use of OxyContin began in 1996, he didn't return to the subject. When the National Enquirer published a list of Limbaugh quotes about drug abuse, all but one dated from 1993. The Center for American Progress could add only one more, a comment Limbaugh made about Jerry Garcia being another dead drug addict. But even that was from August 1995. Amazingly, no one could find an incriminating quote, even though Limbaugh had been on the air for more than 6,000 hours from the time he started his addiction to the time it was exposed. Limbaugh faced prosecution on drug charges by a legal team that could only be described as highly motivated. Despite its reputation for going after dealers and not users, the West Palm Beach prosecutor's office tried to obtain Limbaugh's medical records without his knowledge, thereby skirting subpoena rules. They released confidential correspondence between the prosecutor and Limbaugh's lawyer. Portions of his medical records ended up on cable television. Betty Castor, the Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate in Florida, explained that her son, who worked in the prosecutor's office, would fight very hard to put Rush Limbaugh away, or at least get him off the air. Hypocrisy has proved to be a wonderful weapon for liberals in their war against conservatives. When a religious mountebank like Jimmy Swaggart or a pro-family politician gets caught cheating on his wife, their political enemies use the charge to good effect. When the president of conservative Hillsdale College was forced to resign after a scandal involving the suicide of his daughter-in-law, with whom, to make matters worse, it was discovered he was having an affair, liberal newspaper columns resounded with cries of "I told you so." Newt Gingrich was roundly excoriated for allegedly divorcing his first wife as she lay in a hospital bed, after setting himself up as a champion of family values. Meanwhile, liberal spokesmen do their level best to milk these misfortunes for all they are worth. When New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd gets on the subject, this secular liberal suddenly gets religious and starts talking about heaven and hell. "Okay," she told Chris Matthews on The Chris Matthews Show, "I'll predict that the rapture's coming and you and I, Chris, are going up. And all these hypocritical conservatives who tell people not to do stuff, but then they get caught doing, are not." Howard Dean, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, did an impression of Rush Limbaugh at a gathering for Democrats and included the sound of someone snorting cocaine. In a May 2005 appearance on Meet the Press, he defended his parody on the grounds that hypocrisy is a value that I think has been embraced by the Republican Party. We get lectured by people all day long about moral values by people who have got their own moral shortcomings. Dean promised, "I will use whatever position I have in order to root out hypocrisy." Unlike most liberals, however, conservatives understand and accept the reality of hypocrisy as part of the human condition. The notion of original sin, or flawed human nature, is embraced by pretty much every conservative philosophy. Indeed, it is enshrined in our very system of government. Conservatives believe in cautious change and a limited government of checks and balances precisely because, as human beings, we are flawed and prone to sin and vice. As James Madison argued in the Federalist Papers, people can't turn into angels, no matter what policies you adopt. Conservatives do tend to set themselves up as defenders of public morality and virtue, only to stumble and fall. But in most instances, when conservatives betray their publicly stated principles, they harm only themselves and their families. Moreover, just because some people don't live up to these high principles doesn't invalidate them or make them wrong. Conservative principles are like guardrails on a winding road. They can be constraining and even annoying, but smash through them at your own risk. Yet, for all the talk about conservative hypocrisy and the endless chatter about Limbaugh, Bennett, Dr. Laura, Newt Gingrich, and others, there has been very little investigation into the prevalence of hypocrisy on the left. Liberal talk show host Alan Combs has gone so far as to say that hypocrisy is essentially a conservative disease, something liberals can't catch. "It's much more difficult for a liberal to be hypocritical than it is for a conservative," Combs observed in his book, Red, White, and Liberal. Conservatives are more likely to take absolutist positions because they see the world in stark, good versus evil terms. Because the world isn't just black and white, conservatives back themselves into ideological corners from which they cannot be easily extracted. Combs must be living in a parallel universe, watching a different television and reading different magazines and books. He is certainly correct that conservatives can and do take absolutist positions, especially on questions of morality. But liberals do the same when it comes to social and economic questions. They speak with haughty moral certitude about matters of economic justice, inequality, and fairness. They strike a pose of fighting for the little guy against the rich and powerful. They consider themselves in the vanguard of the battle against racism and oppression, and paint themselves as defenders of the environment against rapacious industrial capitalism. Confident of the purity of their motives, they are likewise sublimely convinced of their opponents' evil intentions.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?